الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. Honorable ulama, respected elders, brothers, mothers, sisters, beloved youth, the esteemed listeners of Radio Al-Ansar, Sirius FM, and the esteemed listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tonight, with the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah jalla wala, is the 14th night of Rabi'ul Awwal 1440. In Arabic, brothers, the first three nights is called Hilal, and the 14th night is called Badr. When Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was entering Medina Munawwara, what a welcome the Sahaba radiallahu an afforded the Master Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today our children and male, female, all of them have almost by a heart attack. And they said, Tala al-Badru alayna. So why did they say, Tala al-Badru alayna? When you look around and you see the full moon, when you go outside now and you see it will be the full moon, then it brings about so much joy to the eye. When they saw the Master alayhi salatu salam, it was a day they were ecstatic, they were delighted, and their happiness knew no bounds. When Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered into Quba, the daughters of the Najjar tribe, Najjar means carpenters, young daughters, small girls, they had the duf, you can say duf or duf, in their hands, and they welcomed the Master alayhi salatu salam. They did not see Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They did not see Thani Athnain, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. But when their gaze fell, and then they hit the duff, lo and behold, and the Master is coming nearer and nearer to Quba. What did they read, O daughters of Durban, O daughters of South Africa, O daughters of the world? What did they read? نَحْنُ جَوَارٍ مِنْ بَنِ النَّجَّارِ نَحْنُ جَوَارٍ مِنْ بَنِ النَّجَّارِ يَا حَبَّذَا مُحَمَّدٌ جَارِ. They said, we are the daughters of the Banu Najjar tribe, the carpenter's tribe. And today we are elated and excited. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is our neighbor. Imagine how happy they were. We go to Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Allama Alusi rahimahullah has mentioned this in Ruhul Ma'ani. When they asked Mother Siddiqah bint Siddiq, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, describe to us Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did she say? Lana shamsun wa lila faqi shamsu. For us there is a sun, S-U-N. Lana shamsun wa lila faqi shamsu. And there is a sun on the horizon also. But وَشَمْسُنَا خَيْرٌ مِّن شَمْسِ السَّمَاءِ. But our sun is much superior, greater and better than the sun you see on the horizon. Why? فَإِنَّ الشَّمْسَ طَالِعٌ بَعْدَ الْفَجْرِ. That sun rises when the Fajr time expires. You say tomorrow at 10 past 5 or whatever time your sunrise will take place, 5 o'clock or whatever time it will take place. So remember that our sun, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, S-U-N. وَشَمْسُنَا طَالِعٌ بَعْدَ الْإِشَاءِ. That if you enter the room and the ghurfa mubarakah, the hujra mubarakah, you will see the nur, the radiance, the celestial light on the countenance of the Master Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When I went to Iran, I visited the grave of Sheikh Saadi rahimahullah. Sheikh Saadi is a master in poetry, and he was composing and compiling poetry regarding Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what did he say? Balaghalula bikamalihi. Then Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached the highest of the highest of ranks. What is kamal, what is greatness, what is majesty and grandeur. Balaghalula bikamalihi. Kashafaddu jabi jamalihi. He removed all the darknesses in which people were groping in. What is handsomeness and beauty? In Shama'il Tirmidhi, Hadith Kitab, Bara bin Azim radiallahu ta'ala who states, it was like tonight, the 14th night, I looked up to the moon. Oh moon, how beautiful you are. You are a full circle and a pinnacle of beauty. Then I looked at the Master Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I said, Wallahi ma ra'aytu qablahu wala ba'dahu ahsana minhu. I took qasam on Almighty Allah, O Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I never saw any creation more handsome than you before today and after today. Also I will not see. You are more handsome than the full moon, O Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. بَلَغَ الْأُولَى بِكَمَالِهِ كَشَفَ الدُّجَى بِجَمَالِهِ حَسُنَ الْجَمِيعُ خِصَالِهِ. Every attribute, every characteristic, every mannerism you will find in the Master Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The worst thing for a poet is that his pen can no more move. The worst thing for a compiler is now his thoughts are finished. Now what to do? Saadi rahimahullah sleeps. Lo and behold, the Master alayhi salatu salam comes in his dream. Saadi, read for me what you wrote. He reads, بَلَغَ الْأُولَى بِكَمَالِهِ كَشَفَ الدُّجَى بِجَمَالِهِ حَسُنَ الْجَمِيعُ خِصَالِهِ. حَبِيبُنَا مُصْطَفَى صلى الله عليه وسلم tells him, Saadi, add this verse, صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ. Read salat and salam upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and on the family of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You heard Qari Sahib reading now. Let all of us read one more time inshallah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa ashabihi wa barik wa sallim. My topic is this, brothers. This was just introduction because it is the 14th night. So I said, let me just mention this. One Shair puts it so beautifully regarding the moon. If you just read poetry, ulama and people have composed in various languages, subhanallah. When you go to Masjid Nabawi, sometimes you will see people come with books. And the whole book is in regard the praising and the Naat Sharif. They present to Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So remember that you will find the Arabs with their qasaid and qasidas, how they present what they had compiled and composed to praise Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the one poet says, Ya sahib al jamali wa khair al bashari, Ya sahib al jamali wa ya khair al bashari. O Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are the possessor of beauty, the paragon of beauty. Ya khair al-bashari, and you Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are the masterpiece of Almighty Allah's creation, the most beloved and the most precious to Almighty Allah jalla wala. Then he goes on and what does he say? Min wajhika al-kareem, from your honorable face O Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Min wajhika al-kareem, laqad nuwir al-qamaru. That through your face, Mubarak, O Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, today the moon is shining and glittering. See how they praise the Master Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Think about all the brothers. Where is our love? Where is our dedication, devotion to Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam? My topic tonight, my brothers, is why did Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala send Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam to this world? What was the purpose, the aim, the objective? In Surah 48, Suratul Fath, Fath means victory, and verse number 28, Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala summarizes the reason. What does Almighty Allah say? هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَىٰ. He Almighty Allah sent Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with huda, with hidayat, with guidance. Every rakat of every salat, we perform salat now behind our Honorable Mawlana Chauhan Sahib. And he read and we read in our sunnah, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. So what do we translate it? Oh Allah, guide us to the right path. That's a very incomplete translation. When you analyze the word hidayat, huda, it means nurun wada'ahu Allahu fi qulub al-ibad. That radiance, that effulgence which Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala inserts in the inner recesses of our heart, so that we draw a dichotomy, a distinction between haq and batil, between truth and falsehood. That is what we are asking Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala. Today, brothers, our cars, smart cars are parked outside. You see your car has park lights, then it has dumb lights, then it has bright lights, then it got many other lights also, mashallah. So today we are still on our park lights. We need to increase that and bring it to dumb light and bright light, inshallah. So every rakat, every unit of every salat, we are begging Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala to increase the quantity and the quality of that iman, so that we can draw the distinction between truth and falsehood. That is what this hidayat is all about. هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَىٰ وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ. There's only one deen, that is the truth, and that is Islam. Sometimes you find Muslims making the statement that Allah forbid, Allah forbid. Musa alayhi salam was a Jew, or Isa alayhi salam was a Christian. That is totally unacceptable, brothers. From Nabi Adam alayhi salatu salam, right up to Sayyiduna wa Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi salam, every Nabi, every messenger came to this world, he was a Muslim. Quran has mentioned that. You can never attribute that and say there was somebody else or something else. Nay. مَا كَانَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ يَهُودِيًّا وَلَا نَصْرَانِيًّا وَلَكِنْ كَانَ حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam was not a Jew nor a Christian, he was a Muslim. So brothers, every messenger, every peygamber, every Nabi of Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala was a Muslim. وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ. What is this دِينُ الْحَقِّ? We today in Majidu Salihin, mashallah, you have a foundation, you have the four walls, and you have a beautiful ceiling. So that is Deen al-Haq. We have our Aqeedah, our belief structure. We believe in Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala. We believe in Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We believe in all the articles of faith. That is non-negotiable. That's our foundation. The wall number one, yeah, our ibadat, our salat, our zakat, our umrah, siyam, fasting, hajj, all those activities. The wall number two is wa'ashiruhunna bil ma'roof, our interaction with people. How do we behave with our wives, our children? How do we behave with our employees, with our non-Muslims? All this you will find in the Quran Sharif, in the Sunnah Mubarakah. So that is Deenul Islam. Third one, our mu'amalat, our business dealings, our transactions. Today, many of us, we are fasting Monday, Thursday. Many of us are performing hajj every year and going for umrah during the year. But when it comes to business, then we are ruthless. And money is sweeter than honey. You know, when your wife loses her temper, what you do? You just take out some money and say, honey, take this money. Then she also will be smiling, just like the full moon. So brothers, you must remember that in Islam, that is unacceptable. We become so ruthless that we become zalim and oppressors and trample on the rights of people. And fourth one is our akhlaq, our character, our mannerism, our morals. that we have so much pride, arrogance, and we have rancor, malice, hatred. So put all four walls together on this foundation and see how high you want to go. The more we practice, Allah will elevate us. One floor, two floors, three floors, 100 stories. You can go high and high as you want to, provided we take deen il-haq and we embrace it. لِيُذْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّ. Today we live in a very, very vicious world. The media, remember, is a powerful weapon people have. And remember, the media, it then makes the people Black Friday. You hear the Muslims speaking about Black Friday. Every Friday, you must remember, is a Nurani Friday. We don't accept Black Friday. You can buy the special, I'm not saying so. But how come you also advertising Black Friday? Remember, we must say the Radiant Friday, the only week of the year, Almighty Allah dedicated an entire surah to that day. Suratul Jumu'ah, surah 62, comprising 11 verses. See how Allah elevated. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Jumu'ah Sayyidul Ayyam. So today is a conflict going on between Nur and Zulumat, between light, radiance, effulgence, and darknesses, and this ism and that ism. There is a conflict going on between Haqq and Batil. And what is their aim? يُرِيدُونَ أَن يُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ. Allah mentions it, يُرِيدُونَ, in the present tense and future tense, that they want to extinguish the nur, the radiance, effulgence of Allah, Deenul Islam, بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ, with their mouths. They want me and you to become just like them. You must follow us. You go today to India and they tell the Muslims in some areas, Kaho, make Ram Ram, otherwise we put you in the Qabristan or you go to Pakistan. See what ultimatums they give to the people. So brothers, you need to understand the geopolitics of things as well. That how Almighty Allah is warning us already that these people, they want the world domination. They want to extinguish the effulgence, radiance of Almighty Allah with their mouths, with their media. You see their TV networks, print media, social media, all powerful weapons. But Allah Jalla Wala is in control of everything. No leaf can fall without the command and decree of Allah. So what Allah says, inspiration, motivation for all of us. وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِيَ الْكَافِرُونَ. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala will let His nur spread throughout the whole world, although the non-Muslims, they hate it and they detest it. In this half an hour I got left, my brothers, I will share with you, which I'm sure most of you are not aware of, my trip recently, 4 weeks ago or so, to Russia and Uzbekistan. And there will be so many lessons for you to learn. It was just my wife and myself. You know, wherever I go, no wife, no life story. So myself and my wife left South Africa via Dubai. We landed in Moscow. So alhamdulillah, no problem. They just looked at us, asked me that why you came. I said, I'm a tourist. So they were speaking something in Russian. We don't understand, obviously. In 5-7 minutes, we were out. They stamped the passport with Allah's help, gave us visa on arrival, 3 months visa. So we had everything arranged. So they were waiting for us outside. And subhanallah, the traffic in Moscow, you can't believe. It took us more than 2 hours to reach our hotel. Our hotel, mashallah, right next to the masjid. Russia, my brothers, 150 million people. How many Muslims? 25 million Muslims. Majority of them belonging to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Majority of them belonging to the Hanafi school. Things beyond our perception and comprehension. So I asked the lady there that I saw this beautiful masjid, and the lady said the masjid is closed, the mosque is closed, tomorrow Friday it will open 10 o'clock, which was incorrect. The masjid is open. But we also were tired, musafir, so we read our salat there, Maghrib, Isha, Fajr. Nevertheless, then I went to the masjid. Subhanallah, as we entered, I saw people from different sides entering. And then they had police and so forth. So I knew that, yes, security is very tight for a Jummah. My brothers, let me just digress for a minute. Why do we learn history? Did you ever ask yourself this question? We learn history as Muslims for three reasons. We learn history so that we do not commit the mistakes of the past in the future. We learn history so that we study the things of the past, the incidents, events of the past, and we are motivated, inspired for the future. And our Muslim Islamic history is unique in the whole world. Our history is not written in black and white. Our history is written in black and red. The black ink of the ulama and the scholar and the shuhada, our martyrs, the red blood which gushed out and oozed out. Remember, that is how our history is written. So my brothers, come to South African history for a moment, because we are unaware of that. When was our first masjid built in South Africa? Our first masjid in South Africa came about 200 years before our democracy. Our democracy was in 1994, turn the clock back two centuries. 1794, remember when you go to Boer Kaap. If you don't know, because mashallah, you Durbanites, Afrikaans is very good, I know that. So, under apartheid, you to have, you know, bathrooms and all. They say dames and here, you know, male and female. So this brother come from Durban to our town, the Heidelberg, we all speak Afrikaans. So he say, dames here. You know, what dames mean for y'all, you understood? Yeah. For dames and here, he made dames here. You understood? So anyway, you must remember, brothers, so Boer Kaap is next to your Hilton Hotel. From Hilton Hotel, you just walk 100-150 meters. You will see is the Tende Masjid, the Oval Masjid, 1794. Turn the clock back. 1781 to 1793, in this masjid, yeah, you got already 20, 30 Hufaz, people who memorized the entire Quran Sharif from cover to cover. When I ask and pose the question on air on the radio, show me one person in the Christian faith or Jewish faith who knows the entire Torah to Injil from cover to cover in the original language and has memorized it. I said, Mr. Pope, can you come and take up our challenge? So the answer came, there is no hope for the Pope. So you must remember these things here. We are the only people who do this. Remember this. So my brothers, we know Robben Island for many reasons, but the main reason we have forgotten, in 1781 to 1793, remember Imam Tuanguru was incarcerated there, and lo and behold, he was a sheikh, he was a hafiz, he was sent as a political prisoner to Robben Island, and from memory, he wrote the entire Quran Sharif at Robben Island in that 13 years incarceration. That's the first Quran in the history of South Africa. You want to see it? Go to Oval Masjid, you will see it there in that showcase. That's not the original copy. You know, South Africa, they steal anything and everything. So the original copy, they kept it in the vault. You ask the Cape Town ulama, they will show it to you. That is our history. So when I entered that masjid, subhanallah, I marveled and looked at it. I asked the brother, how many floors? He said, 5 floors. A basement and then 4 floors. How many people here for Jummah? 25,000 people for Jummah. In the heart of Moscow, Russia. You see, they are also politicians, you know. This masjid was built 3-4 years ago. The World Cup is coming. The Muslims will go. So at least Jummah time, they want to read Salat. So let's give them a masjid. See, marketing strategy. So anyway, it was not built by the government. One Muslim person. This kazarf baraho, Allah inko bara bana deta hai. When you have a heart, magnanimous heart, you prepare to spend. One person, multi-billionaire, he put up that whole masjid 5 floors, and you ask how many millions of dollars were used. Think about it. Nevertheless, brothers, what happened after that? So we went, I told them I want to see where the imam. So they said, no, you must go up. And lo and behold, So when I went there, I could see the Imam. He was delivering, rendering the khutbah in the Russian language. We didn't understand. But what impressed me the most was the silence in the masjid and the musallas and the cleanliness, everything, spick and span. After Salat, I went Russia. I don't know any person. I said, let me wait outside and see who I can meet. So I met, stood one brother. I asked him, you speak English? He said, small, small. So when they say small, small, I know he can help me, you know, because it's upside down. So anyway, one brother came. I asked him, what's your name? He said, Zafar. I said, Zafar, you speak English? He said, very good. I said, Alhamdulillah. I said, take me around here if you've got time. He said, 1 minute. He just made few calls and he canceled all his appointments. And he said, fine, let's go. See, brothers, we don't go, we just make dua. Allah Ta'ala open so many doors. So we went there to the Red Square, we went here and there and Botanical Garden and what. Three incidents I want to tell you what happened that afternoon. Number one, subhanallah, if you look at Moscow, you look at St. Petersburg, because the next day we went there. So many churches, and if you look at them from far, they've got the gumbad, the dome, they've got the minaret, everything just like a masjid. And when you come near, then you will see the crucifix, you will see the cross and all this type of thing. So I used to tell my wife, when we were passing all these places, make dua. One day Allah Jalla Wala show us that these churches have become masajid, which are happening in so many parts of the world nowadays. So remember, that is a system of Allah. From far they just show us, obviously we don't go there. They say Lenin is buried there and he died and he buried there. Now remember this Lenin story. He died in 1924. He made one ihsan, one favor on me and you, the Ummat al-Muslimah. When he died in 1924, 2-3 months before his death, he passed a decree and he told them that, yea, in St. Petersburg, we have one book and it is the holy book of the Muslims. So take this book and go give it to the Muslims there in Uzbekistan. You see, sometimes shaitan also does one good deed, you know. So anyway, you must remember, so he died, and now the book was put in a vault, and then the Quran Sharif, and it was sent to Tashkent, the capital of Uzbekistan. So when you go to the main museum, subhanallah, it's open and they will show you that Quran Sharif. Do we know whose Quran Sharif it is? It is Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala and his Quran Sharif, more than 300 pages, the original copy with the blood stain there and certified by UNESCO also. Who is Sayyidina Usman radiallahu an? Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, son-in-law, Dhun-Nurayn, twice. First he married Sayyida Ruqayya radiallahu anha. After her demise, Sayyida Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha. After her demise, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ya Uthman radiallahu anhu, even if I had another daughter, I would have given her to you in marriage. He was fasting Friday between Asr and Maghrib. The enemies came and made him shaheed. The blood oozed out, gushed out, and you see the blood stains right till today on that Quran Sharif. So brothers, when you travel this world, then you will increase your horizons. So many things you will learn. So very clean, very green. I was very impressed. And their currency is a ruble. For not so expensive. For one US dollar, you get 65 ruble. And if you giving euros, you will get 75 ruble. Nevertheless, I was very impressed. And the people were very helpful. Obviously, the barrier was, I don't know Russian, so that's not their fault, you know. From there we went to St. Petersburg the next day, we flew over. And there also, mashallah, that by the time we reached there, everything, then, you know, the brothers were waiting. So I went for Asr Salat to an old masjid there. Moscow has 4 masajid and St. Petersburg has 2. The masjid I went to, because I saw the map and whatever, 110 years old in the heart of St. Petersburg. Imagine. When I went the same story, I said, let me see who can help me. So I asked this brother, I could see all struggling. Then I went to one person sitting there, I asked him, brother, you speak English? He said, very good. The other brother saw me speaking to him, he told me in Arabic, laysa bi Muslim. He's not a Muslim, this person. I asked him, that, which religion you follow? He said, no, I have to follow Christianity, but they gave it up. It don't impress me. Now I'm studying Islam. So I told him, Ala khabirin sakatta, we say in Arabic. I said, very good. Come, I give you a private Q&A. No, so ask anything you want on Islam and inshallah we'll answer you. So he got very happy. So he started asking this, that. So afterwards I told him, now anything? He said, no. I said, now you do one job for me. He said, what? I said, you take me around. Understood? So where I want to go? So he said, fine. See, if you go to St. Petersburg, you visit all these masajid and so forth, then one place you must go, 12 o'clock at night, midnight after midnight, you will see there are 9 bridges. Subhanallah, engineering genius. So they cordon off the road, normal road. If a guy like person like me go, you'll think it's normal. They cordon off the road both sides, and no cars, no vehicles can move. Then suddenly you see the road going up and becomes like a big bridge, so high. And everybody is just looking. When this one is finished, then the next bridge, then the next bridge, and the next bridge. I told my wife, if they have to do this in South Africa, one bridge will definitely collapse. Ki ne kui unda danna ta karna. You understand? They must do something upside down. So you must, that was something really wonderful spectacle. What is good, you have to admire. So anyway, I told him, no, I got no time now, we have to wake up Fajr and so forth. So subhanallah, non-Muslim taking me around, I gave him his money and whatever for the taxi. But he came, he showed me all these places. Next day we had to leave, or the next night we had to leave. So I said to my wife, let's see what happens. I had to ask there, the airport, St. Petersburg. I asked that person, where's the prayer room? He said, no prayer room. So I told my wife, we have to perform Isha Salat, let's see what happens. So I performed Isha Salat in full view of everybody. They have so many cameras. And then nothing happened, nobody approached me. So I told my wife, you also make Salat and see that what's happening. So nothing. So brothers, we must never be apologetic, wherever we are. Take our Islam and practice on it. Subhanallah, ju'ilat liyal ardu masjidan wa tahura. The whole world is for us to read Salat. That is a miracle of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So from there we went on Uzbekistan Airlines to Tashkent. For you, the respected ulama and students, Tashkent is called Shash. You know Usulul Shashi? So that is where the author comes. His name is Ishaq bin Ibrahim. In Shash, I told you about the Quran Sharif, and there are wonderful madaris, darulums there. But al-asaf is shadid. Very, very sad to inform you, today all these madaris, 99%, 95%, have become shops and places where they sell souvenirs and so forth. It's just remnants and relics left. Architecture at its best, but Uzbekistan, under 70 years under Soviet rule, communism, 1st of September 1991, they received independence. 27 years have passed. So Almighty Allah is giving us Islam, so Islam must spread through all parts of the world. The giants came from there, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah came from there, Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah came from there, Sahib-e-Hidayah Allama Marghinani rahimahullah came from there. The Hanafi school, if you study Ma Wara'un Nahar, so you must remember all these ulama came from that part of the world. And that is what inspired me really to go and visit. One madrasa I went there, so I asked them what they're studying, at least that was active. So they told me they're studying Mishkat Sharif and so on to other kitab. So I said, very good, I taught this kitab. So they were very happy. So I taught them in Arabic few ahadith and so forth. So alhamdulillah, that also happened with the grace and mercy of Allah. We went to Bukhara. When we went to Bukhara, so the rail system is very good, excellent. They have their trains moving at 200 kilos plus per hour. And it's very, very good, on time and very, mashallah, functioning very well. So from there we went to Bukhara, and there, mashallah, the brothers were there to welcome us. And thereafter they showed us around and so forth. I went to the synagogue as well. If you study Uzbekistan, you will know that there were 25,000 Jews there under the Soviet rule. Now there are 500 only. So the rabbi, whoever was there, he started explaining this all. So I asked him, this Torah you are telling me about, are you Hafiz, you know it? So he was very honest, he said no. And I asked him, who knows it? I know the answer. He said, no, if you go to Israel, there are some people. I just gave a wry smile, you know. So I didn't want to debate with him then. When we were leaving, they brought some box or something. So he told me, put some money here. So I said, no, we don't put money for Israel, we put money for Palestine. So he just looked at me. So I said, even there, they want to take our money. So anyway, then from there, I went to the Iranian quarter. And there I told them my name, Husseini. They like Husseini. You see, Abdul Qadir Husseini. So I told them I visited Iran. So they took me around and showed. One thing very sad but true, that the language they speak there, most of them or many of them, is Farsi. So they use that Farsi language in the media. And they use it to their advantage. And that's very, very dangerous. Remember that. Anyway, outside Bukhara, there's a great Sufi buried there, Sheikh Bahauddin Naqshbandi. Subhanallah, when we went there you can feel the Islamic flavor and so forth. Beautiful masjid, madrasa, students. So I met them and told them I came from South Africa and others. So there also they said, please come give a lecture and teach us some ahadith and so forth. Allah's mercy, that also happened. From there then we spent 2 nights there. In Bukhara, subhanallah, my wife and myself came. So because we arrived at night, so Fajr time we did Fajr and then we came for breakfast. I just saw Maulanas and Maulanas. What's going on here? So I asked the one person, who's this? He said, 40 ulama of Pakistan have come to visit Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, and Uzbekistan. So they're leaving today, Nashta Pir Rasta. So this was their last nashta, their breakfast, and then they're going to leave. So I asked him, who's the leader of your group? He said, Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Halim Chishti, Hafizahullah, and his Hazrat Madani student. I said, no. Then I must meet. So anyway, my guide was waiting. I said, you wait, I must wait for them. 20 ulama were in this hotel where we were, and 20 ulama in the other hotel. So after about 20 minutes, half an hour or so, they came. So I met Hazrat, everything. So subhanallah, today the doors are open. You want to go, you will get visa there. In Uzbekistan, you pay $50 per person, and they give you permission to enter and so forth. But very disappointing in few aspects, I'll explain to you now. Thereafter, we went to Samarkand. See, brothers, Sahaba, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam students. What they achieved, what heights they went to, beyond our imagination. هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَالدِّينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُذْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ. They try to burn the Quran Sharif. How are they going to burn the Quran in our hearts? They try and burn our Hadith Kitab. How are they going to take the Ahadith out of our hearts? They want, we must leave Islam, Allah forbid. So much effort is done. Different schemes and plotting and planning against Islam. وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهِ. But Almighty Allah selects always some people. And they will be the people who uphold Islam and become the beacons of light. So when we went to Samarkand, so there you find 3 things you should know. Number one, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, uncle, his chacha, kaka as we will say, remember is Abbas radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Abdullah Abbas radiallahu anhu, son is Abdullah bin Abbas, Fadl bin Abbas, Qusam bin Abbas. I want you to learn this incident and I remember this incident properly. Who is Qusam bin Abbas? Qaf Thamim. Qusam bin Abbas radiallahu anhu is Sahabi of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They left Medina Munawwara. They went right to Uzbekistan and these parts of the world to go and teach and preach Islam. They became ambassadors, not of their country. They became ambassadors of Islam, brothers. That is what we need today. The world is thirsty. They want true Islam, not this diluted and polluted Islam. Nevertheless, so when he went and his name became famous and they martyred him. So when we went, I looked at the list, I told the guide, there's a driver and a guide, I said, take me there. So there's a plaque there and they call him Shaheed Zinda, Shaheed Zinda. Why Shaheed Zinda? Shaheed because he was martyred by the enemy. And Zinda, every person who's a martyr, Allah Jalla Wala says they're alive. وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ. You must not say for those people who are martyred in the path of Allah, they're dead. بَلْ أَحْيَاهُ وَلَا كِلَّا تَشُورُونَ. But they're alive and you cannot perceive it and understand and comprehend it. So they combine both the term shaheed and zinda. So subhanallah, we went there with the guide and then we made dua and everything. And there they have virtues of Qusam bin Abbas. A very interesting fact which we should remember. We are in the month of Rabiul Awwal. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's demise took place on a Monday, the 12th of Rabiul Awwal. And it was the 11th year after Hijrah. On this there are no two opinions. All the ulama are unanimous on that and there's consensus on this issue. Now the question arises, who went down in the grave Mubarak of the master Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu and others. But who was the last person to come out? When I buried my mother and father, so I made sure that I must be the last person. So if you want to look, you can see your father, mother for the last time. Akhri didar. Qusam bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala numa is that sahabi. Akhiru man kharaja min qabrin nabiyyil Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The person who has a distinction to see Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the last time. He's a sahaba, brothers. Today you want to learn the profile of this soccer star and cricket star and actor. Not going to take you anywhere. Learn about the sahaba. Learn about the students of the master alayhi salatu salam. And see how Allah will elevate us, brothers. The love for Almighty Allah. The love for Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The love for the students and the companions of the master alayhi salatu salam. All this is imperative upon us. See the link, Surah 48, verse 28. Surah 48, verse 28. لِيُذْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّ. O Muslim, me and you must become experts in every field that is permissible, and we must beat them in their own game. Remember, that is what we must do. Do our duty with duty, and use it for the sake of Islam, so that we invite them towards Islam and the beauty of Islam. And then the next verse, Surah 48, verse 29, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Almighty Allah. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّا kuffar. The entire verse, and for you young students becoming hafiz, you remember? Surah 48, verse 29, in our Arabic, the alphabets, Alif, Ba, Ta, Tha, Alif, Be, Te, Se. From Alif to Ya, every letter you will find in this verse. It's the only verse in the Quran, you will find all the letters. One ayat, all the letters are there. Surah 48, verse 29. Nevertheless, Allah Ta'ala is praising the Sahaba. Now from there we go, it's a Friday. And I told these youngsters that come, it's 11 o'clock, let's leave the driver and the guide. So we went to a place called Khartang. Haji Abdul Wahab Sahib passed away, Rahimahullah. According to conservative estimates, 1.5 million people attended the janaza salat, the biggest janaza in the history of Pakistan. Imam Bukhari, Muhammad bin Ismail passes away, and how come he landed up there? You must remember this knowledge is not for sale. Knowledge is very independent. There was a ruler, and that ruler told Imam Bukhari, Muhammad bin Ismail, you have my sons here, come to the royal palace and come teach them. He said, I don't come to your palace. You tell your sons, they want to learn by me, they must come here. He said, fine, they'll come there by you, but you must teach them privately. He refused and said, I will not teach them privately, they must sit with the other students as well. So he got, you see, people with influence and power, they like to dictate. So he said, fine, if you want to do all this, I will expel you. He said, fine. So Imam Bukhari had to leave. The day he passed away in Shawwal, Imam Bukhari passed away on the night of Eid, Eid al-Fitr. One side the moon was sighted, on the other side the son of Islam passed away. وَانْتَقَلَ إِلَىٰ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. So Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, the area where he's buried is called Khartang. Tang means very narrow, and the mere means of transport and conveyance could not enter. Because people came with their horses and donkeys and whatever they would use. And they could not make it right inside, so they changed the name Khartan. Nevertheless, we went there, and I read Surah Yasin and so forth. See, brothers, propaganda, what a powerful weapon it is. When the Russians were doing excavations, and then they dug up, they saw Imam Bukhari, Imam Muhammad bin Ismail, Amirul Mu'minin fil Hadith. Subhanallah, his body is intact. Nothing has decomposed and disintegrated. They said, covered this up, and they put a plaque there. The person buried there is a great communist leader. This is what propaganda does. They shape the thoughts and the opinions of people. But Almighty Allah has His own system. Our Mujahideen, our brothers there in Afghanistan, they took on the Red Army in 1979 when they entered. They said, these people, orthodox, backward and so forth, we'll eat them up for breakfast. 1 week job, 1 month job the maximum, and finish. They stayed 10 years. The Soviet Union, the Red Army disintegrated. If you spoke to any one of them, and you ask them, how come you lost? They say, we lost because of two reasons. Reason number one, when these people used to come, and they used to shout that slogan, Takbir, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Something used to happen internally to us. سَنُلْقِي فِي قُلُوبِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا الرُّعْبَ. Allah Jalla Wala would put fear and awe in their hearts. This is takbir. Second, we feared when we looked at them, they came with their big, big beards. And we were terrified when we would see them. See, brothers, if we become true Muslims, the enemy, just by looking at us, despite all the arms and ammunition they have, remember, we will have victory. But instead of we influencing them, they influencing us. That is the crime we are committing, and our children are committing, because we are guilty as well. So always remember, liyuz hirahu ala deeni kulli. They take the message of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Islam must always prevail. Islam must always gain the ascendancy. That is the message of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nevertheless, now all that is out. Now the whole surah, the whole plaque and everything of Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah. So the adhan was around 1 o'clock. So I read Surah Yasin, made dua. If you know Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, it took him 16 years to compile Bukhari Sharif. And he would not include a hadith in Bukhari Sharif until he made ghusl. He read 2 rakat salat and he made istikhara. And then he had Ishara, convinced that yes, this hadith are the direct words of the Master alayhi salam. So painstaking, laborious, and 16 years it took him. The Tarjamatul Bab, the headings, remember, that were written in Riyadul Jannah, where Mustafa sallallahu alayhi salam said, Ma baina bayti wa mimbari rawdatun min Riyadul Jannah. That it is one of the gardens of Jannah. You see, always there's a big queue there to read Salat. So Imam Bukhari, Rahimullah's contribution to Islam can never ever be forgotten. Therefore we go there and we make dua there and so forth. Nevertheless, the Imam was speaking in Uzbek language, so I didn't understand. The Adhan went, and then the khutbah, Salat, everything in Arabic, the khutbah. These youngsters, who came with me, so I asked them when we were returning, that what was the Imam saying? They said, what you talking? We don't read Jummah Salat. See, brothers, this is the negative. You have the giants in our past. But you look at currently, I tested them. I called this youngster, that youngster, 7, 8, 10 years old. Read Surah Fatiha, brother. I read for him. Alhamdulillah. They just look at you. I asked the elders, how many surahs you know? The guides, not one of them could read Arabic. You see, yes, then قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. If you tell them read here, they can't read. So you must remember that today, if you take Uzbekistan, Muslim country, 27 years for the independence, 90% of the people are ripe to exit Islam. That is the reality on the ground. There's no madrasa, there's no real ulama, there's no Jummah Salat. I asked him how many people inside, how many people outside. Imam Bukhari is buried there. He said more people were outside than inside. We take it for granted you came with me for Jummah. Obviously you will read Jummah. So brothers, I beg you, when we speak of Islam, then you have this wonderful ocean here. I will leave you with the thought that ask yourself, are you going to become the bubble or are you going to become the water? فَأَمَّا الزَّبَدُ فَيَذْهَبُ جُفَاءً. As for the bubble, it is a symbol of falsehood. Apartheid collapsed and fell and disintegrated in front of our eyes. Same thing happened to the Soviet Union. That is the bubble. Me and you, brothers and sisters, we are the water. وَأَمَّا مَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ فَيَمْكُثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Take the water of Islam and travel in the world. Ya Allah, use us for your deen so that we promote the creed of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah and we show our love for Almighty Allah, for Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam and all the Sahaba, and that is how we must promote Islam. We thank our Maulana Chauhan Sahib, all the trustees, all the respected brothers, officials here. I thank my brother Muhammad Ikhlas of the Capital Group and all his brothers and family. May Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala, our Radio Ansar, Sirius FM, and mashallah, make dua for all of us. Allah Jalla wa Ala, make our khatima on Iman. It's 2-3 minutes left for Azan, so we make short dua, inshallah. Maulana dua for Mayenge. So inshallah, we'll make dua for all those who are ill, those who are sick, and make dua for our beloved country also. Allah Ta'ala protect us all, inshallah. Wa afru da'wana.